Call the House State Affairs Committee meeting to order. Today is Monday, March 25th, 1991. The time is 8:42. We have President Representatives Moyer, Choquette, Bruckman, Baker, Groomberg, and Covina. We do have a quorum. Today's agenda includes House Bill 181 relating to salary schedule for state employees, House Bill 182 relating to appropriation for public employees' cost of living for fiscal year 91, Senate Bill 18 relating to investment of pension funds. We're not teleconference this morning. I'd like to take up House Bill 181. 181 grants a 5% pay increase to certain state employees not covered by collective bargaining agreements. In your packet, you'll find a work draft for a committee substitute. This committee substitute will put members of the judiciary back under the salary scale and grant them the same pay increase as other employees. Administration on 181? Nobody? Chris, would you join us? Good morning. Chris, just let me say the committee, I think the original bill is relatively straightforward. There is a governor's transmittal letter in your packet which explains basically this is an adjustment to the salary schedule to include the 5% cost of living. Does anybody have any questions on that basic part from the committee? Then Chris, maybe you might let us know, explain to us please the committee substitute and the reasoning behind it and what it exactly does.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Chris Christensen. I'm the staff counsel to the Alaska court system. Last year, the legislature gave judges their first pay increase in about 5 years. When they gave them that increase, rather than calculating the amount through the committee process, they simply took the recommendations of the Salary Commission, which had done a very thorough review of judges' salaries and tried to come up with an amount that it thought was fair considering the type of work that was being done. When the legislature passed this pay increase, since the recommendations of the Salary Commission did not coincide exactly with any of the steps on the salary schedule, they took them off the salary schedule and set a specific amount in statute. One unintended side effect of doing this, something we only realized this year, is that when all state employees get a cost of living adjustment by increasing the salary schedule, judges won't automatically get it because they're not on the schedule anymore. The appropriation bill that's following House Bill 181 is House Bill 182, and the administration has drafted 182 with an appropriation in it for a 5% cost of living increase for judges. However, they did not put the authorization in House Bill 181. We were told we were on our own in terms of getting that added to the legislation. The essential effect of the amendments that are contained in the State Affairs CS sections 1 through 8 are simply to tie judges back to the salary schedule so that anytime all other state employees get a cost of living adjustment, judges will get the exact same cost of living adjustment, no more, no less. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I do have one very minor technical amendment I'd like to propose, if I may.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about that?
Okay. I'm looking at the CS on page 4. The first 10 sections or so of the bill actually set out the amounts of salary increases that state employees are going to get. Section 11 is the section that says, in more specific terms, who those salary increases are going to apply to. If you look at lines 12 and 13, it says it applies to permanent and temporary employees of the judicial branch, but it doesn't mention judges. If you look at line 13, it says it applies to permanent and temporary employees of the legislative branch, but it doesn't say it applies to legislators. When the cost of living adjustment was passed last year, the word judges and the word legislators were in those two lines. This year, when the Attorney General drafted the bill, they didn't put those words in there. Probably they're not absolutely needed. Probably the rest of the bill stands on its own. However, it is an ambiguity. Legal Services agreed. reason for that. The problem, of course, is that, for example, in the case of legislators, they're on the salary schedule. Part of the bill increases the salary schedule. But the part of the bill that says who it applies to simply says employees of the legislative branch, and a legislator is not an employee of the branch. To resolve the ambiguity, we would recommend that on line 12, after 1, we would insert the words judges and, so it would read judges and permanent and temporary employees of the judicial branch. Then on line 13, after 2, insert the words legislators and, so the sentence would read legislators and permanent and temporary employees of the legislative branch. As I said, this probably is not essential, but it does resolve an ambiguity, and I understand that the Senate Finance Committee intends to add those words. They're concerned about the ambiguity over on the Senate side.
It's a pleasure on the committee on that point. Representative Greenberg.
Mr. Chairman, on line 15, do we then have to say the governor and?
Through the chair, Representative Greenberg, my understanding is that the governor's not on the salary schedule and wouldn't be getting a salary increase with this bill. I'm not certain of that, but that's what I was
thinking. I believe that's correct.
My question then is, if everybody else gets cost of living increases, should the governor too?
Mr. Chairman, this bill is drafted by the administration, so I assume this is that omission is a policy decision.
What's related is, Chris, you pointed out in HB 182, Section 4, which pays for the raise, and there it simply refers to the court system employees. And is that when it comes to all incomes and term? I know I'm jumping the house for 182, but while we're talking about exactly who we're talking about, is that term in line 14, page 3 of 182, suitable, includes judges and
I had not looked at 182. I've been advised by our fiscal officer that this is the way it was always drafted, and that you have a little more flexibility in an appropriation than you do in an authorization. Probably the most accurate thing to say would be for judges and employees of the judicial branch, which actually would cover all of them. This is probably good enough to get them their money as long as the authorization bill is accurate. But Representative Moyer is correct. That's not the most artfully drafted term.
I would like a motion, yes.
So move for putting judges and on line 12. I suppose we'd like to do them separately.
No. And?
Legislators and on line 13. Does that mean we get a raise?
That's correct. Object.
There's objection.
I don't have any objection against the judges, but against the legislators. Because, Mr. Chairman, I think that, you know, we set up a mechanism through that other bill to have the Salary and Emoluments Commission establish the level of pay for legislators. So only as it relates to legislators.
There is objection. Representative Bruckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly sympathize and understand that Representative Baker said, because I'm looking forward to that other bill passing. But in the meantime, I would think it'd be good for legislators to be on the same salary schedule.
I think what Chris said is we already are on this.
Yeah.
And the language on line 13 already included legislators, in your opinion. Can you just make it more clear?
And Mr. Chairman, in the opinion of both the Attorney General and Legal Services, probably this language is not needed because legislators are legally entitled to it because they're on the salary schedule. There is, in the mind of Legal Services, an ambiguity, and this just resolves the ambiguity.
And then what we're saying here, Representative Baker, is that legislators are paid at range 10, step A, I believe it is. And
well, then, Mr. Chairman, through the chair, to Chris, assuming that step A is the lowest one, it shouldn't be too hard to find on the schedule.
That's right there.
At $1,504 per month, whatever it is. As I would read this draft, if the cost of living goes up 6%, step A would, in essence, jump by 6% in the next fiscal year.
Through the chair, Representative Baker, this would only give the increase
Okay.
So if there were, my understanding is the reason that this bill was introduced this year is that the union employees have a cost of living escalator in their contracts, which says that that they can receive a COLA of up to 5%, depending on what the inflation rate is. I think the inflation rate is actually a little over 5% in the last year. They're getting 5%. Next year, if the legislature were to pass another bill and say give a 3% COLA, they would have to take that affirmative step, and then judges would only get that 3%, no matter, you know, what the actual inflation rate was. The legislature has to act affirmatively here. There's nothing automatic about it.
Okay, so this would not automatically grant, well, then I'll withdraw my objection as long as it's not automatic.
If this bill passes, in effect, we will also receive that 5% pay increase,
well,
about $1,000, if this bill passes, both these bills.
Well, that was my question,
okay.
And he just said no.
Perhaps I misunderstood the question. If the legislature has to act, in years past, some years back, that there was actually an automatic cost of living adjustment in the state salary laws back during the 1970s when there was a great inflation, and it simply kicked in without the legislature having to pass a bill. But at the present time, but this bill actually has to be passed by the legislature, and any future increases have to be passed by the legislature. It doesn't happen automatically without legislative action.
Right. If the bill passes, and if there's a 5% increase in the cost of living, legislators will receive $1,000 more per year.
That's correct. The cost of living increase has already happened. We're talking
right.
about a year ago.
Right.
If the bill passes, then all non-union, people that do not bargain will be included.
My objection's back on the record.
Your objection is still on. Representative Bloomberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I understand the basis for the objection, and it was really a request, I suppose, to divide the amendment.
Yes, sir.
Before we actually do it, I would point out my recollection of the previous legislation is that the Salaries and Emoluments Commission will apply to judges as well as legislators. So in that sense, there's no reason under that bill to treat the two differently.
To respond, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Baker.
Representative Grunberg. I understand precisely. I think what Chris is bringing forward is another vehicle just in case the salary and emoluments bill may not pass, and so that there's another vehicle moving forward in case so that the judges don't get caught in the middle and again not receive an increase. So I'm sympathetic. I agree with the theory, Representative Grunberg, and that's absolutely correct. But I'm just really nervous about us granting ourselves an increase without that other vehicle.
Representative Grunberg.
I understand what you're saying. But inasmuch as this seems to be a motion to divide the question, I would oppose that motion because the basis for it isn't there. The basis for the motion to divide the question was on the basis that this other bill applies to one and not the other, and that's not correct.
No, not correct.
So I don't think the question should be divided.
Have no intention of dividing it. Representative Shokat.
The Chair, Chris, this bill primarily, deals with the cost of living increase. The bill that Representative Baker's talking about deals with the salary increase. Is that correct?
Through the Chair, Representative Shokat.
Mr. Christian.
The same.
That's the bill, the Salary Commission bill, at least in its initial step, is intended to set what is a fair
right.
salary. And the first time it does that, that may not have anything to do with the cost of living.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
Which is why judges received that raise last year when the legislature followed the commission's recommendations. Now judges theoretically have a fair salary, and the cost of living bill will just help us keep that current. So the two have a
Mr. Chairman, I oppose the objection also.
You know, I think this is a perfect example of how legislators get put in that. How pay increase, even a very small one, becomes a very political issue.
Right.
And to me, if we would put the politics aside and allow, and would have had allowed over the years, cost of living increases, we would not be probably in this spot. But rather, we get these little political fights, and then we try a number of years ago to raise it from the 22 to the 46 or 48, and we get the big fight, and so it comes back down. And if through all these years the cost of living increases would have been granted, probably as other state employees had, why we wouldn't be at such a low level that we would, you know, it would be probably that important to us. I mean, at least we would have inched up. And after talking to Commissioner of Administration, he has stated to me that he also sort of agrees with that we would give ourselves normal increases like everybody else, and we wouldn't be in such a low spot. You know, obviously some of us are more able to live in the manner in which they're accustomed on their outside salaries, where others of us have a harder time making a good living. And so there's a divergence there, but being a citizen legislature, I don't believe means that you're a pauper legislator. So I will call a question on this. We've never had one of these, so I think the way I'll handle these is just call your name and ask you to say yes or no on the amendment to the CS. Any objections to that?
I like that. Mr. Chairman, I would, I'm not sure if we've done this before, but I would recommend if there is an objection on anything that we have a roll call on the record.
I agree. Representative Greenberg.
Yay.
Representative Baker.
No.
Representative Bruckman.
Yay.
Representative Schulte.
Yay.
Representative Moyer.
Yay.
Representative Kabina. Yay. The amendment does pass. You know, I probably actually skipped a step. Just stay with us, Chris. I probably skipped a step. I would like a motion to have the committee substitute before us.
As amended, I move the CS for discussion only.
CS is before us. Discussion on the CS as amended.
Do you want a motion on that?
Nobody has anything else to say.
No.
Representative Choquette.
I have nothing to say. Did you want a motion on the bill?
I'll say a motion.
I would move that this bill passes out of committee on individual recommendations.
There is a motion to pass
with unanimous consent.
Committee substitute as amended for House Bill 181. Without objection, 181 is removed.
You want to thank you.
You want to talk on this? No.
Take the food out of my kids' mouth.
Is there another sign? Is there another sign?
Take my preacher fees.
The next item before us, there is one, but nobody signed. If there isn't one, I want one, because people are coming in. The next item before us, the committee is... Next item before the committee is House Bill 182 by the governor. 182 is an appropriation bill that covers the cost of 5% increase, which we just did the authorization bill. Now, Chris, on that, could we talk about what Representative Moyer brought up? I believe that was on page 3, wasn't it? Line
13. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I
think that's fine in this one, isn't it? It's just the Alaska court system, and the authorization says who. So that really wouldn't need change, I don't believe, does it?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I without talking to our fiscal officer, in fact, I'd be a little uncomfortable recommending a change, because sometimes they have a peculiar reason for wording things a certain way in appropriation bills, and I'm afraid that I might say the wrong thing. I know they were satisfied with this language and thought that this would take care of everybody.
Well, either Chris or Representative Grubenberg, what about lines 10 and 11 there?
I think, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Grubenberg.
I move we add on line 11 or in the appropriate place of section 3 the word legislators and with the same respect to section 4, probably on line 14, but wherever the drafter thinks, add judges and. The reason I'm doing that may not be the normal practice, but here we have two bills that are companion bills, and I don't want one bill to say something else, so I move that amendment.
Representative Baker.
Yay.
objects to that amendment.
And then, Mr. Chairman?
Hearing no objection, amendment is adopted. And we'll check for the proper place, and we'll also double check with legal before we send it on to make sure we're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
In their opinion. And if we are, I'll bring it back before someone's here. Representative Choquette.
I move and ask unanimous.
I've got a question before we get, if I may.
Representative Moyer.
Sorry, dude.
That's okay.
There's still no one here from the administration. I'm kind of curious and...
We have anyone here from revenue?
Or? Department administration.
Come on over.
Probably more of a finance committee question, but I am a little curious about all the sources. How is it that we have funds and these sources and... What are we doing by taking money from these various sources?
State your name for the record, please.
Bruce Cummings, Director, Division of Labor Relations, Department of Administration. I can't answer a question specifically. It has to come from 1B, and I'm not sure where they are at this point. But this is a normal distribution of funding sources on state employee salaries allocated to various agencies that receive these funds. Some receive federal funds, some don't.
So everybody, it looks like everybody that has an employee that's going to receive a pay increase on this, their particular fund is identified.
That's correct.
This is
every source of funding, though, will be added to a paycheck, if you will, is identified.
With 8 million, oops, sorry.
Representative Choquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eight million coming out of the general fund now. Roughly 9 million.
I might add, Mr. Chairman, Representative Choquette, there will be an adjustment that is either have in your packet or we'll be receiving a proposed amendment from OMB, which adds an additional contract settlement with the Labor Trades and Crafts bargaining unit, but reduces the amount budgeted for the settlement of the general government bargaining units. My error in the effective date of one of the pay increases, there's a 6-month delay, so the total amount will actually be slightly less than shown here.
We don't have that amendment as of yet, so. Is this something you want us to hold the bill for, or something you can handle in finance?
It's not in finance.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
If I could, one more question. Line 23, page 2, you have over $1 million coming out of capital improvement project receipts.
Through the chair, I can't explain.
Just let me say that a number of employees are paid through capital funds. I know like a lot of DOT people are paid actually through capital funds because of work, that's their job.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't wish to hold up the bill, and I'll just get with someone from OMB, and if I have any particular concerns, I'll deal with them through Finance Committee with that. I would not hold up the Representative Choquette's motion.
I think there may be you may want to make a first motion to incorporate the amendment into a CS.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
So there is a motion to have before us a committee substitute as amended by Representative Bloomberg's earlier motion. Is that what you're talking about? So we have a CS before us without objection. We do have. Any other comments? Pleasure of the committee.
You go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass from committee House Bill 182 as committee substitute for. Oh, this isn't original. House Bill 182 as amended. Individual recommendations ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? House Bill 182 is moved to committee. We'll hold that bill until I maybe talk to legal bill. Bill we have before us, Senate Bill 18, Investment of Pension Funds. It's a bill by Senator Porchel relating to the investment of pension funds. It's a companion bill to Representative Baldwin's House Bill 37, which we previously heard. You should have in your packet the House Bill 37. This Well, Representative Ballmer's bill.
It's in there.
We also have a proposed amendment by Senator Porcello. Senator, would you join us, sir? Good morning. Senator, I think that you testified already before us. What I'd like you to please comment on, and have you seen this Department of Revenue position paper?
Yes, I have. Mr. Chairman, I don't know. I guess I view that as more a philosophical treatise than specific concerns to the bill before you, and sooner or later, I guess we're going to have to grapple with the administration's position on the bill. I mean, there's a lot of debate on it, but it is not debates on the specifics of the bill before you. It's just a whole different orientation. I had hoped that they would make more specific comments relative to the composition of the board and how the governor's appointments might be different structured to satisfy their concerns for control on the board. I don't see that in that fiscal note. The position paper. The fiscal note, I think, raises a number of questions. I think it's just purely a financial matter. I don't agree with some of the assumptions of the fiscal note. There's some curious aspects related to the existing FERS and TERS monies being used for management of these funds and perhaps other funds, which is brought out in that fiscal note. And I think the House Finance Committee is going to want to take a close look at that and see exactly what, you know, how our current FERS and TERS funds are being used. But I don't really have much to say.
The other point in which we have a few people signed up to testify, and I believe will be brought up again, is expanding the board. Of course, this probably goes exactly the opposite from where the governor is coming from, and would probably make the bill even harder for him to accept in the long run. So would you have any comment on that?
I think you said it best. I think that's it's the opposite approach from where the governor is headed. It doesn't help bring those two positions together, I'm afraid. And that's why I continue to believe that balance is what we should be striving for on the board in terms of beneficiary representation and so-called management or employer representation. That you get out of sync one way or another, and I think we end up with major political problems.
Representative Choquette?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Porcello, has the amendment you proposed in reference to the State Pension Corporation paying municipal taxes on property and that's held for investment purposes, has that been adopted yet on this bill?
No, I don't think so.
Are we going to be able
we are going to consider that amendment. In fact, if you'd like to discuss that amendment now, we can do so.
I would, Mr. Chairman, if it's all right with the Senator. And in discussing the amendment, we have Scott Burgess with us today. I saw him. There he is. Scott represents the Municipal League and has voiced his support of the amendment. And I think any questions this committee had would be best asked from him or Senator Porcello, with myself. I do support the amendment.
Are there questions on the amendment? Representative Greenberg.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to, when we have the amendment before us,
I'd like a motion to pull the amendment before us.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Amendment is before us. No objections?
No objection for discussion on this.
I
have a technical question, and my staff is on the phone to Terry Kramer now, who's the legal counsel who drafted this. I'd like the members to look at Section 9 on page 2. It says a municipality may bring an action in the Superior Court. A lot of these taxes are far below the district court jurisdiction, which is up to $50,000. In fact, I think it'd be very rare that that they'd be foreclosing with $50,000 on an individual parcel. And what I would propose to do, and I'll do it now, and if legal counsel says we can't do it, then we can always take it back. Rather strike in the Superior Court and say in the court of proper jurisdiction.
I don't think there'll be a problem.
So moved.
Any objections?
And put what?
Instead of superior, say, in the court of proper jurisdiction.
No objections. That amendment is adopted, Representative Greenberg.
No, I don't have a concluding one here.
Anything else on this amendment specifically? Scott, if we just go on, do you have anything to say if we're moving forward?
Did you want a motion, Mr. Chairman?
Okay, I'll accept a motion on this amendment.
I would move that the committee accept this amendment.
Is there objection to the amendment? Hearing no objection, this amendment is adopted. Other discussions with Senator Pichol before I hear from other witnesses?
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to hear at this time, by the way, you should have a handwritten, copy of a handwritten that was delivered this morning. Ms. Darlin? Marie Darlin?
My name is Marie Darlin, and I am here just for myself as a state retiree, and I want to add further to testimony I gave you at your last hearing on this particular bill, Senate Bill 18, and to say that I no longer really have an objection to the fact that the employees of this corporation would be under the exempt service. After talking with Senator Forshow's staff and all, I understand their rationale for it. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Questions from the committee?
No,
thanks. Mary Lou?
Miners.
Is that M-I-N?
It's M-E-I-N-E-R-S.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Mary Lou Miners. I'm representing AARP. I'm a member of the State Legislative Committee for AARP, and I would like to present their position on the Senate Bill number 18. Since many Alaskans are contributors to the various state retirement systems, and with the expectation that the funds will be carefully protected and prudently invested to ensure their availability of the benefits that will be ready for the eligible beneficiaries on retirement. The state of Alaska has a financial responsibility for the management of investments for the trust funds, over $4 billion of PRS and TRS and judicial funds and military retirement system and elected public official retirement system, officers and retirement system. By law, the Commissioner of Revenue is the sole fiduciary for the investment funds. For the PRS and TRS boards have no direct role in the investment of funds, although the boards are responsible for administering the retirement benefits. The Commissioner is a political appointee, which has the potential to disrupt the continuity in the investment program. The Department of Revenue, a line agency, has multiple responsibilities in addition to investment of funds. To ensure the state's prudent and faithful discharge of its investment responsibilities as a fiduciary of various trust funds, AARP supports the need for impartial oversight by persons with professional expertise in investment management. AARP supports the establishment of a public corporation for carrying out the state's responsibilities with which facilitate the prudent maximization of trust fund earnings by providing broader and more flexible management powers. The corporation should be an instrumentality within the Department of Revenue, but independent and separate from the state. The size of the board should be small, yet operationally efficient and financially prudent. The Board of Trustees should be composed of a majority of members elected by the active and retired participants in the system. Appointed members should include representation of the employers, the public, and the Commissioner of Revenue. Provision should be made for the Investment Advisory Council to make recommendations to the Board of Trustees on investment and strategies and procedures. the present TRS and PRS board should remain. Benefits management should remain in administration. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there questions from the committee?
Thank you.
Does anybody else like to speak on this bill? Well, we have actually somewhat conflicting views on this bill. And the question is, the administration obviously would like more control of the board. The retirees appear to would like more control of the board. And I think that's really the biggest issue we have, is the makeup of the board right there. And who is the governor's position appears to be that since that money is, the state is obligated to meet those benefits, no matter what happens to that fund, that the governor should have the authority then to control and manage that fund. The position of the retirees seems to be that since that is our money and we have the most vested interest in it, that we should have the majority control of that board. And it's pretty philosophical here. We can see that the way the board, or the way the funds are set up now, there has been a problem, certainly well publicized in the SBS system, and which may cost the state of Alaska a large sum of money to have to make up if things go the way they appear they're going. I am leaning towards moving this bill in its present form, and but this committee may change my mind. Representative Shokat.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not convinced this committee can answer those questions, and I would concur with your thought to move the bill. I don't have the answer.
Representative Bloomberg.
I like the bill in its present form. I don't think that there's anything to prevent us as a committee with proper jurisdiction from making a decision on the issue. And I feel comfortable with the way it is. I don't agree with the administration.
Other comments from the committee?
Mr. Chairman, want a motion?
I'll accept the motion.
Before you do, I have one other corollary thing that it doesn't relate directly to the bill, but arose out of my amendment before, but I'll take that up after we take the motion.
Okay. Representative Shokat.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate bill as amended be moved from committee with individual recommendations.
Would the proper motion be for it to have a committee substitute with the amendment before us?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a motion to have a committee substitute with, as we have amended the bill before us. Is there objection to the committee substitute? Committee substitute, therefore, is before us. Representative Shokat?
I would move that we pass a committee substitute.
There's a motion to move committee substitute State Affairs, House State Affairs, for Senate Bill 18 with individual recommendations.
Right, sir.
Is that objection? Committee substitute for State Affairs for House Bill 18 is moved from State Affairs. Representative Bloomberg.
Yeah, this relates to something that caught our eye a minute ago when I offered my amendment. And I'd invite Mr. Burgess, if he would be willing to come up to the table.
He's always willing to come to the table.
There's a statute that requires, and this is not strictly within this committee's jurisdiction, but I have a suggestion, Mr. Chairman, that requires that all actions, legal actions, to foreclose liens, tax liens, be brought in the Superior Court. And it may be particularly for smaller municipalities that they would prefer to do it in the district court, which is sometimes closer, more available, and speedier. And there are several statutes that relate to this that would have to be amended to permit that. There's a bill that's in the Senate now that's going to be heard this week relating to the jurisdiction of the district court. And I would just suggest, since we dealt with this here in one aspect, Mr. Chairman, that we write a letter to the chairs of the two judiciary committees urging them to take a look, and this might help speed things up for municipalities, and I think would be a good addition to the district court jurisdiction. I'll draft such a letter if the committee is willing to let me do that. Mr. Burch, do you have any problem?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Representative Bloomberg, I defer to your knowledge of the court system. I'll be glad to check it out with my folks at
which reason was this? There's a specific bill you.
There's a bill that's called. It's a bill relating to the jurisdiction of the district court. It's under the title as a technical kind of amendment. I'll prepare the letter, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
We
may have that
title. We do.
Well. All right. Is there anything else to come before? Meeting number 10, come before? Not at this time. Next meeting of the House State Affairs will be Wednesday, March 27th. At this time, we'll be hearing H.C.R. 17 relating to the Task Force on Governmental Roles, House Bill 167 related to absentee voting, H.C.R. 10 relating to Alaska Garden Week, and other bills.
All right.
Previously heard, the House State Affairs Committee adjourned at 9:26.